Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Karate Cafe. This is episode number 32 for the week of August 7th, 2006. Tonight's episode is the third in our series from the summer camp that Gene Myers and I went to down in our Hombu Dojo in New Jersey. Tonight we talked about a lot of different topics, including aging and karate and what your body can still do and sometimes what your body can't do. And we also talked about kata, which was interesting. For me, the interesting thing, a little side note, a little bit of behind the scenes here. We always have a topic, or try to have a topic, for every episode of Karate Cafe. But we always end up never staying on topic. Case in point, these three episodes, you go back and listen to all three together, because it's all happened on one night. But it started off with the original topic that Gene and I had in mind was the difference between training in Okinawa 30 years ago and training in Okinawa today. And we started there, and you can see the conversation went everywhere. I found it interesting from the comments we've gotten back on it. A lot of people found it interesting. So, you know, that's the great thing about podcasting and this podcast is that the topic goes where it goes. And it seems to be always, we hope it's always an interesting conversation. With that aside, enjoy this, and I'll talk to you at the other end of the podcast.
I know Shibata was he was small of stature.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. So he gets that old, all this hand-eye coordination over the years. So now the technique takes over, whereas the timing, you go to throw a punch, he cuts it off. That's got to kick in somewhere.
He's not there. He's not there.
Your timing, okay?
Right.
You learn to read body. Okay, perfect example.
You say it gets worse or it gets better?
No, it's better.
It gets better.
Oh, okay.
Timing, from years of experience in reading and nowhere near Chibana Sensei, but that's exactly what happened to me with the two suspects is I was able to feed off their body movements and their react, and I was able to react. Timing is better than speed, because if you have the timing...
But I'm talking, you start
in reality,
yellow belt,
probably
you
most 90-year-olds are not real good fighters.
Maybe
no Shibata
was just
but,
cutting
you know.
With fingertips on. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
strength, maybe it's the technique.
It's technique 100%. 100% technique, okay? Because brute strength
can
takes
be defeated
leaves.
By any brute.
Yes. It leaves, you know, I mean...
Actually, I think it slows you down, but that's...
Yeah, it becomes nothing more than technique.
We're doing kind of not, like, not as strong as they did in the 40s. Did they find, because of the limitations of their bodies, did they do something differently?
No. In their mind, they were doing it as strong as they were doing it in the 40s, when they were 40.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, your mind is still controlling your body.
But would they adapt it for their body? Like, I don't know.
No. Okay. No. But your body adapts to your age.
To your limitations.
Your limitations, right.
That's interesting.
Okay. When I watched Nagamichi Sensei do kata, I forget what kata he did in 97, but I watched him do it, and his kicks were... If you were looking at them and judging them by, say, you know, what we saw tonight in testing, okay, we're not as sharp as those people. But he was also at the time about 80-something, 83 years old or something. And in his mind, they were, I believe, in his mind, he was kicking as flat out hard as he could. But your body just deteriorates as you get older, which is one of the reasons that, like Iha Sensei says, that they used to teach this, Namashita Sensei calls it Suikendo, okay? Softer blocking, more Tai Sabaki emphasized, okay? To older people, to people in their 50s and 60s and beyond, you've been training for, you know, my son has been training, you know, both of them have been training since they were 4 or 5 years old. And they're in their 20s right now, and they're out there cranking at 150%. And they'll crank at 150% until they're about 45, 50 years old. and then their body's going to start to slow down a little bit.
Crap.
And then you begin to rely more on perfection of technique. And your Tai Sabaki, which is the one of the major principles of Shorinru Karate, is going to take over. And it's, it goes right 150% back to what Nagasato used to say about blocking. Okay, beginners block, and then they counterattack. Intermediate students block and counterattack. And advanced students counterattack. Because you're not there. And anybody who's ever stepped in and punched at some ninth or tenth dan like Nagasato or Iha Sensei, okay, or even people like Nakasone Sensei, who he's an eighth dan now, but when I first met him, we were both seventh dans, and say, step in and hit me, or just hit me, sparring. He used Tai Sabaki in his sparring, and he's not there. And that requires technique, not so much, you know, physical ability. It requires technique. And that's where the people in their 80s can still get out and do kata. I watched Higa, Yotsuka Higa, in 1993. He was in his 80s. He had just recovered from a stroke. Do some Ippon Kumite. Remember? Mm-hmm. When we were there? He got out and did a little Ippon Kumite in his dojo, showing us, you know, because we went there with Iha Sensei, and my son and I and a few of Sensei Iha's students were there, and he got out and he wanted to show that he could still move. And one side of his body was affected by a stroke. He could still defend himself, and these guys were coming at him. He got his students up there, and they knew better than to try to be nice to him. They stepped in with punches. He wasn't there. Next thing you know, he would hit them, or they would fall down. He wasn't there.
That's just like, well, the last time I went to Okinawa with Nagasato Sensei.
Right.
I just watched him. Somebody wasn't going along with the way he was trying to correct him, and he wasn't getting it. Oh. And he just took one hand, put one hand on his arm, and one hand on his shoulder, and just moved his body in a certain way, and just threw this guy across the dojo. I've never seen anybody thrown that far, ever. And Nagasato Sensei is what, 80, 80.
Well, at the time he was about 83, I think. Yeah. He launched this guy, and this, when we talked to this gentleman later on, that, you know, that got launched, he said he had enough hang time in the air that he could decide whether how he was going to break fall. Now, the rest of us had some questions about that because he didn't do very well on the decision.
Yeah, he didn't know how to break fall.
He went straight into the wall face down, and I don't think that was a good choice.
But he's still pretty much leveled out at about hip level.
Right.
Yeah.
He was hip level, and Nagasato Sensei was correcting the next person before he landed.
Oh, wow.
But there is some, I think, some adjustment. I mean, even Yanomami out in California mentioned this. That you change, you get older, the kata does change a little. You don't get quite as low in your stances. You don't bend your knees quite as far in some things. Because your body is old and frail. It doesn't do that well anymore. Yeah. But it doesn't change the effectiveness of what you're doing when you practice. It's just modification to accommodate the fact that your body is a little different.
I think one of the things we have as an advantage over other things is that you can make kata part of you. It has your signature. You know, there's a correct way and an incorrect way of doing it. But everybody can do the correct way and it still looks slightly different. You each have going to have your own little accent. It's part of it, it's yours. Nobody can take it away from you.
One of the important things about kata is one of the only things that allows you to compete against your real opponent, which is yourself.
Correct.
Amen.
Because you said doing the kata and your stance is less than perfect. You know it's less than perfect. You can feel it's less than perfect. So how do you make it perfect? Well, I have to practice it some more. And every time you practice it and don't do it perfect, that's another defeat. You have to keep working. You have to keep pushing it. And that determination to get it right, no. If what really, you know, if where the
drives
real
you.
Growth, the improvement in yourself that you get from karate training comes from. Karate is, in a certain way, is like every other art in the world. Every art that is practiced by serious and dedicated artists, they spend their time and their effort and their thought
in their lifetime.
Trying to perfect what it is they do.
In their life.
I don't care if it's playing music. I don't care if it's painting. I don't care what it is. They are doing this art, and they are trying to perfect it. Not because they're trying to make pretty pictures for people, or not because they're trying to do something people want to listen to, because they're trying to do it for themselves. They want to hear. They want to see. They want to know that they have actually done what they were trying to do.
And they realize that perfection is a lifelong.
Lifelong thing, but with a healthy mindset. What I mean by a healthy mindset is I can easily give up. I to this day, 22 years of karate training, 22 years of doing kata, I think my katas are horrible. I do not like them. I've been messing with them on video. I do not like seeing myself on video. I do not like it. I think they're terrible. But instead of me saying I give up, I'm done. No. Let me see what I need to correct. Let me work on it. And then sometimes by correcting, I say, oh, man, wow.
Because you're not doing it for anybody else.
No, it's me. Correct.
When you come to show, nobody else really gives a damn what you got.
Now, speaking of video, I've done this. This is something that they couldn't do 100 years ago. Does anybody videotape themselves and watch the crowd?
I do.
I've worked myself on video and I was appalled.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right.
I watched you on video when I was born.
I asked Kiyoshi permission to put the katas on tape, which he granted, and I'm seriously debating doing it. I do not like the way I look. I keep seeing mistakes.
Can you use it for a personal training tool to see if your stance is the way you think it is?
No, because you're always going to keep judging yourself
yes,
no matter what.
Even by yourself.
You're never going to be happy. You know,
if you want to gain something from doing it on video, have your sensei video you and make the corrections while you're doing it.
Yeah. Right. So that's the best way to gain it. Right.
Each move.
That's painful.
It's going to be painful. Yeah. It's not going to be pleasant. All right. Because
in a physical sense.
No matter who, when I go to Okinawa, it's a correction. Okay. And then, the nice part about karate is the trickle down theory. Nagasato corrects me, and I correct you, and him, and it goes on down. But
is there any technology you can see as being useful for teaching?
No. Nothing will replace hands.
Probably gonna be pretty incriminating.
No. To me, in my opinion, nothing will beat hands on.
Right.
Beat it, but supplement it.
Well.
If it's done right, but it still doesn't, nothing as good as getting on the floor and training with your dojo mates and your sensei.
Well, I'll give you an example. We're from Auburn, and there's been times when you've let us videotape so we can bring something back. Because previous to videotaping, we'd be in here, we'd run out to the car, and everybody would write down what they remembered. Then you go home
and compare it, and everybody had something else written.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like a giant game of telephone today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we use the video, we use it for that, as a teaching aid, because we have some memory of what we did down here, but it's
sure.
4-hour drive.
Wow.
And that aspect, though, videotape could definitely.
That would be the same as you going to college and you're taking a tape recorder to record a professor's
lecture.
Yeah.
That's fine, as long as it's being utilized with your sensei and not in place of.
Right.
Yeah, that's
Iha sensei was, he probably still hasn't made him. Had two different companies. He had Tsunami?
Yes,
Tsunami
Video.
Tsunami Productions.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, what was the other one? The one that Joe Jenkins owns.
I know who you're talking about.
Panther Productions?
Yeah.
That's Panther Productions.
Yeah, Panther Productions. Both calling him, wanting him to do videotapes, you know, any kind of videotapes, you know, videotape, whatever he wanted. And, you know, every now and then he would, we'd be sitting and he'd say, well, you know, what do you think? You think I should do it? So, yes. I'd say, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, if you're looking at it from a purely commercial point of view, you could make a lot of money doing it, Sensei. You know? Yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, you don't need videotape. You know, people have videotape. They stay home, open beer, sit on couch, watch videotape.
And they think it's training.
And they actually do start to believe that they're training. But I believe you need dojo,
yes,
sensei.
Yes.
You don't need videotape.
To go in that same vein, as you know, I know most people here, I moderate a martial arts forum. I help moderate a martial arts forum. And you constantly do get that, not just from kids, not from teenagers, from adults coming in there. I want to, can you get me a, or they ask, I'm looking for a video on Iaido. I want to self-teach myself. Or I want a video on submission holds. I want to self-teach myself. And we all say, no, you can't
do
that.
What about somebody that's like out in the boonies, out in Wyoming, and the only choice he has is, you know, TKD or...
I've had that same question asked to me on the forum. Be patient. Wait till you can afford to move somewhere and get somebody waiting for an instructor. Because what happens is you're working backwards. If you're self-teaching, then any bad habits you built up because you had no instructor making corrections, now you have to undo. That's like teaching yourself.
Training in any dojo with a decent teacher, I don't care what style it is better than teaching yourself by video.
Yes.
So okay. What about at one time you were talking about there was somebody that has the technology where it would be two-way video?
Yeah. Basically, that is a tool for not helping students, but a commercial tool for making money.
Okay.
Simple.
Well, what about, for lack of a better term, satellite dojos, where you would have an instructor that... You taught somebody, say one of these guys goes and moves to Hawaii. They want to start a dojo, but they want to be affiliated with you. They can't come here every 6 months. What about a tele class that way?
Depends if they have a foundation. You need a foundation.
Well,
you can't do it from scratch.
Well, first of all, if somebody is going to go out and open up a dojo, they've been training 20 years.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And they're not going to open up a dojo until they've been training 20 years. Because in Okinawa, to be recognized as a sensei now, you have to be a fifth dan. You cannot open a dojo in Okinawa under the rank of fifth dan. If that ever caught hold here in the United States...
It wouldn't matter if you wanted to be a fifth or sixth dan.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, right. But, you know, but in reality, okay, a fifth dan can go out there and open up a dojo and maybe once a year come back and see his sensei and still be... When you're on your own, you do have a tendency to go off the path a little bit, okay? And that's not bad, because a lot of times what happens when you go off the path is it's just your ideas of things. But then you go back and you see your sensei once a year and he puts you back on a straight path and you come back and now you've got another 12 or 11 more months of, you know... Teaching, straightening out, and going off on another path.
But you got to look at it this way too: a videotape can't come out and move your arm when you're doing an outside block and put it in the right position.
Right.
You know, you could be imitating it as much as possible, but you could be totally off at the same time. You're not going to know the difference.
They're not going to tell you you're doing it wrong.
Exactly. You can't do karate without human contact.
Also, videotapes.
Well, two-way video though. Could be helpful.
Yeah, that could be helpful. But you take a videotape, like take for example Nagasato Sensei's video set. Okay, mm-hmm. So you had a three tape set, and all you can every kata is on there, all the weapons katas, all the empty hand katas are on the videotape. If you watch him do, let's pick for example the most obvious one when you watch it is the kamakata. Sensei apparently he made these when he was probably about 80 or 81 years old. Apparently had a problem with his left side. Mm-hmm. And so the move that he does with the kama on a certain technique, which is a repetitious move in the kata, is very different than the way he teaches it. Mm-hmm. And it's not correct. So if you got those videotapes and you copied those videotapes 150%, right, you would look like you had a problem with your left right side, which Sensei had at the time.
Or the twin Fakata, where one of them sticks out halfway.
Right.
In this case, it's for a reason, but I've heard instances of Japanese Okinawans doing that on purpose.
Oh, really?
They'll put things on videotape and not put the complete thing, and then when they run a seminar, these are for the bigger Japanese ones that run seminars, they'll see who's been actually training and who's actually been copying video.
Yeah. What's that old story you have about, was it Iha Sensei?
No, it was Nagasato Sensei.
It was Nagasato.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Nagasato Sensei, 82, when he was here. Demonstrating, right, demonstrating Chinto, and demonstrating a move in Chinto, and what he was trying to show us was the hand movement. And what everybody saw was his head. His head was bent forward in Chinto and doing this particular move. And the entire United States changed their katas to go along with Nagasato Sensei's head bent forward. And when Nagasato came in 88, everybody said, or 85, I'm sorry, everybody said, you know, he wanted to know why we all had our heads forward. Sensei, when you were here last time, that's what you did. Oh, last time, sore neck. Head forward, can't straighten the head out.
The bottom line, too, though, with the whole bottom line with videos, too, you can't learn how to take a punch from a video. You know, you can't learn how to block from
you
a video.
Learn karate. Yeah.
No, you can't.
No way you can learn karate. You might learn how to do the technique or how to do a kata some way, you know.
Yeah,
like Bob said, though, that, you know, the fact or the case like you mentioned before, my student has moved to Alaska, and, you know, if the technology is out there and there are people doing it, they're doing it strictly for commercial value, but if you wanted to, it could be effective, okay, where, you know, you, Pete, who have trained for X number of years, have a dojo and you're in a remote area of someplace and there's just no way you can get to me even once a year, maybe once every 2 years or something, and you want to stay on top of your game, then by connecting to what I'm doing in class or whatever could help you. It's not going to teach you, but it would make someone who already has good basics and somebody who's been taught by a correct sensei, it would help you progress or at least stay on top of things.
It's more of a prevent loss than
there
really,
you know,
a gain.
The adult population of most dojos is really, really down.
Yeah.
Okay. So looks like I just changed my rank system for my adults.
You did.
White, green, brown, and black. Nothing in between.
Really?
I'm sorry. White, yellow, green, brown, and black.
Cheers.
6 months is a white belt, 6 months is a yellow belt, 1 year is a green belt, a year and a half is a brown belt.
So you're going back more to
traditional.
Go back 1972.
Yeah. Bob keeps, every other week, Mr. Wilkie comes down from Binghamton, New York, and influences my thinking over a couple of dealings.
For the better, I think.
Yeah. No, I decided that at this point in the game, I have about 50 adults, and about 45 of them are black belts.
Wow. It's our dojo's getting to be the same way.
There's no lower belts.
We've got the black belts that are there have been there for a long time. We're not leaving.
Right.
But getting somebody, maybe, you know.
But you know what? Even back in the 70s and 80s, traditional dojos are always top-heavy.
Well, you look at it this way. I mean, you walk into our dojo, there's so many options out there. Do you want to come in and learn traditional karate? Do you want to learn an art form, or do you want to work out? If you want to work out, you can take my sister's cardio class, you know, or you can take the kickboxing class, or you could take. They're here. You can take them if you want to come here just for a workout. They're there, but if you want to learn a traditional martial art, then you got to be prepared to learn that what comes along with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we talked about on the forum the other day. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about TMA, though, in karate, shorinu specifically, is that as a whole, you get all that. Fine, if you're specifically looking for a workout, then okay, maybe you want to do the cardio kickback thing. But I get all that. I get the workouts. I get the traditional. I get the cultural. And I get the self-defense.
But
the whole package.
But then again, that goes back to what we were saying, the whole thing with kata, and the more advanced you get, the more of a workout you get doing kata.
Right.
Because the more you know, the more you can.
Yeah, in the beginning, they're not going to get that workout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, kata is karate, karate is kata. So.
Yeah. I don't know how I would have taken it without the bankai and the oi bankai. I don't know if I feel the same about, being honest, I don't know if I feel the same about kata.
You really don't think you'd ever wonder what have I been doing for the last 5 years? What
but
are
no,
these
that's
moves
what
mean?
But he would have stayed.
He would have stayed.
I don't know if I'd stayed or not, to be honest.
But that's what I'm saying. You really wouldn't have thought that you would have wondered about all these techniques that you've
done. Would I have stayed?
That's
like,
exactly right.
They don't question. Okay, to be perfectly, don't use this against me in class. To be perfectly honest, it's only been, I'm a second degree. It's only been probably the last year and a half, 2 years, that I'm looking at kata and I'm looking inside it again. You know, looking inside and starting to own it for myself.
That's because you got past the basics. Short on, maybe a little bit after that, it's only just kind of understanding
basics.
The basics.
Yeah.
I didn't start learning.
You know, I really think, though, that that's a fair observation. I think to the average person, if you just go in and say, okay, you want to learn karate? Here's what you do. Start with Nihonshin Shodan. Oh, you got that down good. We go into Nihonshin Nidan. No one tells you anything else. Beyond that, how many people really are going to have the patience to sit there and, okay, I'll do this? I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it.
You know,
most people won't.
It was the same Okinawa. Most people didn't.
I think the Okinawans probably culturally have a better understanding
of what they're doing, long term, for the group, not for the individual, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, but the Okinawans also,
the group, not the individual.
Their culture is to respect the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, you're, like I said, you have to be a minimum of a fifth on to have a dojo in Okinawa. So, person's not going to be 20 years old at a fifth on. So they're going to respect that person as an elder, number one. And number two, to receive the title of sensei, forget about all the rest of the titles. The rest of the titles are just honorary things, okay? Sensei. Sensei literally means one who has gone before, okay? One who has learned this path before. And when they walk in the dojo, they understand that. You know, sensei doesn't mean, you know, that Pete walks on water. No, it means Pete. If he's sensei, well, he's learned this, he's done this, he's experienced the things that I'm going to now experience. And they respect that, and they'll pay attention to that.
And that's the end of our series from Summer Camp 2006. I hope you enjoyed it. It was fun recording. We had a fun time doing it. And we'd like to do it again at our next camp, at Winter Camp, or maybe at a seminar we take in between. I'd like to thank Kiyoshi Hurton for hosting us. He was very gracious to allow us to record this session. And next week we'll be back to our regular format with Gene Myers, Paul Wilson, and myself talking about topics that interest us and hopefully interest you about the martial arts and traditional martial arts. You can reach us at karatecafe@gmail.com, or you can comment on our forums at karatecafe.com/forums. And we'll talk to you next week.